Hi, and welcome to this session of the Wisdom Circle conversation. In this particular conversation, we're going to talk about the number four and how it seems to be very appropriate for different aspects of wisdom that are shared throughout the ages. But first, I want to welcome you again to this retreat and share with you the idea that we tend to come together to try and get some insights about ourselves so that we can actually make some sense of the world and our place in it, and also see if we can make some sense of how to best navigate our lives from here on through. And so this is a time in the calendar year, which is the fall, and the fall is a great time to do some soul searching. I mentioned the number four because you probably have heard the four seasons. Obviously, I think we all have, you know, winter, spring, summer, and fall. We've heard of the four directions, north, south, east, and west. For those who have been working with me for any kind of experience, whether it's retreats or workshops, you know, we deal with the four aspects of well-being, which would be mind, body, spirit, emotions. So this number four comes up time and time again. And there's a reason for it. It's thought by wisdom keepers to be a very sacred number, although I've been told that all numbers are sacred, so I'm not sure that it has any kind of special ranking. But I think it's very significant in how we tend to see the world. And so when I mentioned to you about this idea of four and quadrants, I think back to the idea of what I have over the years have called the seasons of the soul. And the seasons of the soul deal with our own journey as we go through life, and maybe several chapters as we go through life. And the first season of note is called the centering process. And the centering process is a time to go in, which is what we're doing right now in this retreat. So we go inside. In fact, the word center actually contains the word enter. And the C for the word center means to enter the heart. The C stands for core, the French term for heart. And so we go inside, we enter the heart, we do some soul searching. And the whole idea in this particular season is to go inside, and the season is much akin to the season of autumn, because as the earth spins and tilts on its axis, we spend less time outside and more time inside. And this is the season to begin to become more aware of all those things eternal, but right now I meant to say internal. So the centering process is a time to go inside and to be still. And I want to spend some time just to talk about the art of stillness. It seems to be a lost art these days, but it's very important to sit still. In fact, all the great scriptures from around the world, all the great esoteric wisdom speakings and writings, all convey a sense of importance of stillness, because when we're still, we have a greater sense of clarity. When there's a lot of motion, then comes commotion, and then things get clouded up, we don't see very well. So every now and then, it's important to take time just to sit still and just observe. And this is the whole idea behind the concept of the Sabbath, and that's gone by the wayside too. So you may have heard the expression from the Bible that says, "Be still and know that I am God." But the Bhagavad Gita has a similar phrase, as does the Tao Te Ching. The Tao Te Ching has one that says, "When you are still, you are one with the Tao," which I think is very poetic. And what it means is that when we are still, we have a better chance to actually get a sense of clarity with ourselves. We can see more clearly. So that's a centering process. Once we do this, then we actually enter into the emptying process. The emptying process is a time to cleanse, to let go, to release, to do all kinds of things. Forgive, I suppose, is in this category. There's lots of verbs we can use to describe this. But the emptying process is really a time to let go. And it's normal to do this in other parts of our lives, but for some strange reason, and I think something has to do with the ego, we tend not to. We do it physically. I won't go into graphic detail, but number one, number two is basically emptying the void there. Right? I think people even use that expression, have you voided today? So in this case here, we do it mentally. We forget things. We do it emotionally. It's called a catharsis. You know, we laugh or cry or something. But we don't often do it spiritually, and we need to. And that is a time to empty, to cleanse, to release, to surrender. Another word there, surrender. And to let go so that we can actually make room for some new insights. But keep in mind, the ego says, no, don't do that. You might need that for later, so hang on to it. And we become pack rats or hoarders of thoughts and attitudes, perceptions, and beliefs that the ego says, yeah, don't get rid of that quite yet. But this is a time to do just that. The emptying process is a time to empty, to cleanse, to release. And when we do this, we actually stand at the edge of this abyss. And we look down in there, again, metaphorically speaking, of course, and we think to ourselves, oh my God, I can't go any further out. You know, I'll be consumed by the darkness. I'll never be able to function again if I take a step into the abyss. But it's just an illusion. The abyss is not really an abyss. The abyss or this darkness that you see really is described by the Wisdom Keepers as the womb of creation. And so we take a step into the unknown here, the darkness, but it's a time to, again, really to cleanse, to release, to surrender, if you will. Now, this time period also goes by some different names, and the reason why is because this is a really difficult season for us to go through, again, because the ego hates to let go. But this season is also known as the dark night of the soul. And it has been called that by a number of people, and it's very, very true. But it also goes by a different name. This, again, comes to us from Shakespeare. I think the play was William III. He calls this the winter of discontent. And I love that because this is actually synonymous with the winter season. In the winter season, we see that there's not much there. So it definitely is an emptying time. You know, I think back to one story I heard years ago where someone was remarking, why do the trees lose their leaves in the winter? It's a time when it's cold and the trees would do well to hang on to those leaves for warmth. And the Wisdom Keeper, the shaman, the sage said, no, the trees let go of and release their leaves so that when the sun barely rises up over the horizon, there's more light to share around the world. And so in an act of surrender, an act of selflessness, the trees let go of their leaves so that the other members of planet Earth have more light. Isn't that beautiful? So we too also must let go of things which no longer serve us. And the promise of the universe is that when you do this, something of equal or greater importance will come our way. But we're never going to know that unless we actually do let go. But the ego says, don't do it. And oftentimes we listen to the ego. Sometimes we actually stand at the precipice of this abyss, thinking like, no, I'm not going down there. And so if we do this long enough, we get what I call as being spiritually constipated. And there are some people who actually, every now and then, find themselves, they get a swift kick in the butt from the divine. And that swift kick in the butt basically is a reminder from a number of sages who have said, be in this world, but not of it. And it's great, great advice. So this emptying process is a time to cleanse, to let go. And the promise is that once you make room, that something else will take its place. And that is what we need to remember. So just know that as you go through this process here this weekend and this virtual retreat, of sorts. This is a time to cleanse and let go, to really do an evaluation of your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, your perceptions, your beliefs, and think, you know, do any of these really matter anymore? You know, a lot of times we adopt these as young kids, pretty much as a survival technique to kind of help us navigate through some difficult years as a youngster into the teen years, which can be very tumultuous too. But we never actually are told or given permission to clean house. But that's what we're doing right now. You got permission to clean house. So some things which you may have thought of a while ago no longer really make sense anymore. And that's because we grow. But we need to cleanse and to release and to surrender and make room. And again, the promise of the universe is by making room, because nature abhors a vacuum, that we will have room for something of greater or equal importance coming in there. So that is the emptying process. Then comes the next season, which is called the grounding process. And the grounding process is like a vision quest, where you actually find yourself on high ground looking out over the vast landscape to think to yourself, wow, there's some clarity. This is exactly what I'm looking for. Now I know where I'm going. And this is the vision of the vision quest. And the vision in the vision quest gives you some insight on where to go. It is what I often call the eureka moment. You're looking for some insight. You're looking for for lack of a better word, a cosmic breadcrumb to get you from point A to point B, and to do it gracefully. And this is actually something that we all need to take time to do. And so in this particular process, you're on the mountaintop, you get that vision, you get that clarity, and it's wonderful. You hold your hands up in the sky and say, wow, it doesn't get much better than this. This is what Maslow called a peak experience too. And so we spend some time up on this mountain and we enjoy the view and everything. And it's great, but mountaintops are not hospitable. You can't live up there and you certainly can't stay up there very long. So it's incumbent upon this individual, male or female, on the hero's journey to come back down off the mountaintop and to share what they've learned with those people who are in their family or friends and support group. So the grounding process ends, and the grounding process is like spring. So we've gone from fall to winter to spring. And think what happens in spring. We've got new growth. We've got new leaves on the trees. We've got grass. We've got flowers. This is a sign of the promise of the newness of life. And so we embrace that. We think, great, now I've got something that I can take with me and carry on for a while. And that's a great feeling. It's very empowering. And this is a wonderful feeling to have. Although we're going to tell you that it doesn't happen unless you make room for it. So the emptying process has got to come first. So, but as I mentioned, you can't live on a mountaintop. So you have to go back down to your family, to your friends, to your community, and share with them what you learned. And so this comes the fourth season. The fourth season is known in this particular circle of understanding as the connecting process. And this is much akin to summertime. And, you know, I often ask people when I give talks on this topic of the seasons of a soul, what goes on in the summertime? I'll tell you what goes on. There's, other than in the time of COVID, there's reunions, there are weddings, there's picnics, there's all kinds of celebrations of people who come together to celebrate our oneness. They come together to celebrate family, to friends, you name it. And so the summer is a great time for coming together. And even in this time of uncertainty and change, we still see people who long to do this. And that's because it's part of our DNA. And so in this particular season, we share with others our time to come together and we celebrate. We celebrate what we learned. In this case here, Joseph Campbell might call this the return home of the hero's journey. And again, I'm going to tell you that greed is not a spiritual value. So in this case here, you share what you learned so that other people may benefit from it. And if one person benefits, the whole world is a better place. And so, but you know, just like in winter, people get stuck in the winter process. People can also get stuck in the summer process. You know, it's a nice place to be. You get, temperatures are great. You got, you know, warm fuzzy puppies and cool sunsets. This is all the Disney World effect. But you can't live there. You know, you've got to move on. You know, it's kind of funny. When I first began to explore the concept of human spirituality, I learned very quickly that the word spirit and breath are synonymous. If you take a look at the word aloha, and you break that down, it basically means we share the same breath. We're one, kind of like the word namaste. And so, in terms of this idea of breath, it's not just the inhalation. It's the inhalation and the exhalation. It's a cycle of movement. And so spirit really means this dynamic and divine movement of energy. And so we can't stay stuck. If we do, and you probably know people like this, we end up becoming toxic. I mean, water that pools and stays in an area that doesn't move along in a stream can become very toxic. And so we don't want to do that, although it's been known to happen. So we want to keep moving. And that's the idea behind the particular season of connecting here. Because what's going to come next is back to centering. So we kind of like see that even like our planet Earth, there are four specific seasons. And the complexity of this is that you may be in one season, say like the emptying process in a relationship, but you may be in the connecting process at work. So just like our planet has four different seasons, and right now, as you listen to this, we're beginning the season of autumn, but in the bottom half of the planet, the lower hemisphere, I guess they call it, they're experiencing the beginnings of spring. So, yeah, it makes it really complicated. It makes it kind of sometimes messy, especially if you're in a relationship and that person is going through a different season than you are. It can be kind of challenging. But for right now, let's focus this just on ourselves. Take a look and ask yourself, you know, where are you in the spectrum? Because we all have a specific point that we're mostly in. Like I said, you know, we could be in different seasons with our own lives, but where are we in? And this idea of a retreat, and I love doing retreats in the fall, is because this is a time to really go inside and to make some room. And most people don't do this. We are not encouraged. We're not rewarded to go inside and to cleanse. If anything, we're given the encouragement to go out and buy more possessions and be good consumers and have houses filled with all kinds of stuff. But it's important to truly make time to empty and to cleanse. And that's not going to happen until we sit still and do that. So this is just kind of like a little, I guess, wisdom talk about the seasons of a soul and how it kind of comes into play with this particular retreat. As we get together over the course of now, this is the 23rd year doing this, we remind ourselves of this important aspect of soul searching and how it fits into this particular season, and to become, I guess, refreshed and renewed with the promise to make some room and to cleanse. And so, again, welcome to the retreat. That's a little, again, a little introductory commentary about why we're here and what we can do with this. You're going to see there's lots of exercises, lots of meditations that we do, all have the premise to help you become more centered and to question, do you want to keep hanging on to these thoughts and attitudes and perceptions? Because some you do, or is it time to let some things go and to keep growing? And you know, it's kind of like weeding a garden. Sometimes we want to ask ourselves, is this really a weed? Do we want to hang on to this? Or is this thing going to be given the heave-ho so we have more room for the roses and the asters and the beautiful flowers and things? So it's a constant job to weed our own personal garden. And we are reminded on a regular basis that if we don't, then the weeds can kind of take over, and we don't want that. So so please use this time as a springboard for personal growth and spiritual growth. You know, I did a radio interview a couple of days ago, and this woman said to me, "What does it mean when you say that stress is an opportunity for spiritual growth?" And she was right about saying that. That's definitely an important realization. And all the wisdom keepers talk about this, that if we can learn from the experience that we're going through, and we are definitely going through not only a personal experience right now in this time on planet Earth, but also a collective experience. The whole population is being asked to stop and question, where are we going? Why are we doing what we're doing? And what is there a better way? So I think we're right on schedule. And if you're taking time to do this particular soul searching quest, then you are not only on time, you're ahead of the curve, because this is actually the first wave of people who are making a contribution to make the world a better place. So thanks again. Enjoy all of the exercises that we have planned for you. The journaling, the soul searching, the meditations, the guided mental imageries, the wisdom talks. And again, what I discovered is that it's really nothing new. You know all this stuff, but it's nice to be reminded, because in times of change like this, we easily forget and lose our perspective. So that's the idea behind that. So thanks again, and we'll see you soon.